Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Just turning 622, I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. If last week wasn't bad enough, today Facebook stock dropped below $30 a share from its initial $38 price. But for those early investors who insist that they were misled, were they really, or were there clear signs to avoid the stock? Wall Street Journal columnist David Wiedner wrote about it last week. He joins me now to talk about that and where we go from here. David, thank you so much for joining us here on WILS.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me.
You know, Facebook closed at 28 and changed today. Off the bat, how much lower do you think it's likely to go from here, or is 28, the $20 range, likely to be a solid bottom for a while?
One of my colleagues at MarketWatch went to a lot of stock analysts and kind of came up with a composite about where they thought the stock might end up. And his number was frighteningly low. It was just under $14 a share. So if you believe some of the skepticism out there, and of course a lot of the skepticism is post-IPO skepticism, but if you believe the skeptics, I mean, it could fall significantly more.
Wow, $14 a share. That would certainly change how people look at Facebook. Now, your column was headlined, Facebook shows there's a sucker born every minute. Now, it seems that there were quite a few suckers out there then. What would you say was the primary indication that this stock was something to stay away from?
Well, I think two things. One was the most recent financial statements that came out of Facebook, and that was really, 4 weeks before the IPO, and those financials had a lot of red flags in them. They had warnings about revenue slowing, that profit was slowing, that the momentum that had built up the hype to the IPO had really kind of fizzled out in a lot of ways. And as a part of that, of course, General Motors deciding to pull its advertising accounts from Facebook just in that week was also part of that financial picture. And on the flip side, there was this incredible amount of last week finagling that both drove the IPO price of Facebook up from a low of $28 a share to $38, where it actually priced. And secondly, over 100 million new shares were added to the IPO as it became apparent that initial demand would be able to move those shares out the door. And, of course, that meant that everybody who was involved in Facebook who had bought it in the private markets or had invested in it a long time ago, the Mark Zuckerbergs and the, mm-hmm. and the management team, they were going to cash out and get rich, and that's exactly what happened. Well, but for everyone else on the flip side, they were left holding the bag.
Is it clear what moved that price from 28 to 38 before the stock debuted?
Well, I think it was as they were going around, as the investment banking team led by Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, as they were going around, it became clear that institutional investors, and that may sound like a faraway thing, but of course we know that those are mutual fund managers, those are pension fund managers, those are insurance companies. They were all they had a lot of demand. They were very interested in this IPO, and so they were signaling that they wanted to buy a lot. And so judging by that demand, they signaled back to the Facebook, the people who owned Facebook before the IPO and said, hey, we can sell these shares, we can sell the stake in this company for much more than we thought. And then all of a sudden, we saw that the dynamic of what the company was really worth wasn't making sense with that ultimate $38
share
price.
But was the underwriting team doing something unethical or wrong, or were they simply following the same procedures they always do and it just made a mistake here?
Well, I think that, we will see. Of course, a lot of investors are claiming who have been burned in this IPO are saying, hey, these investment banks had analysts who were warning about sort of this trend about the financials of Facebook, about the price to value of this company, and they were giving those warnings to favored investors, hedge funds, and other investors to back off, but they weren't giving it to the regular mom and pops who are going out and going to buy this thing on the first day. Now, this is kind of a gray area on Wall Street, and it's just one of the things that happens in an IPO where these big clients are paying for exclusive research and that kind of thing. On the flip side, you have investors who have a right to know all the information about this IPO before it comes to market from these investment banks.
But don't we see these kinds of things happening with IPOs in general? I mean, sometimes we see a now. So essentially, it's an imperfect science of trying to evaluate the correct IPO price. And sometimes the price is set too low. How often do we see an IPO fall apart this way?
You don't usually see it fall apart on the bottom side where it falls through the floor, but it happens, and it happens enough that you could say that it's common. A lot of these IPOs, we're familiar with the IPO that prices in Facebook's case at $38 a share and then rockets up into the 40s and beyond, because those are the IPOs that are famous like that, and Google is a good example of that. But there are plenty of IPOs of companies that we are not everyday names that struggle out of the gate. They either hold on to that initial price, which is actually kind of a good thing, or they fall apart and they start to sink in the open market. That's the nature of a stock hitting the secondary market, and then you find its true value.
So, I mean, even if the decision is made that the underwriting team maybe was not as upfront with everybody as they should have been, I mean, is there going to be any real repercussions from that?
I really find it hard to believe unless there's something out there that we haven't heard about this yet, because the reality is that these analysts, even if they were, passing on their opinions to favorite clients, the reality, Michael, is that they didn't have any key information that we know of that was being kept from anybody else. They were just basing it on the company's financials, everything out there that was public. So in other words, if you were your own analyst and you were looking at the stock, you might have reached the same conclusions yourself.
Now, in terms of buying an IPO on the day it comes out or within the first several days, is that generally a wise decision any way you cut it?
Well, I don't think so. And I think there's a lot of us who have been watching this market for a lot of years would say, chances are you're really just kind of throwing caution to the wind to go out there and buy it on the first day. In my opinion, it's always better to wait to see where the market takes it. And if you believe in the company and you think that it has a chance to go forward, just wait a few days and see and let the market sort of settle down. But the reality is that we all know people want to catch that wave, and that wave may start on that first day. I think a lot of people felt like they missed out on the Googles and some of these other IPOs that flew out the door. And so we see a lot of people who are interested in buying an IPO on the first day. Probably not a good idea.
About 10 seconds left. Will Facebook stock get above $38 in the next year, you think?
Just based on the numbers, there's nothing to suggest that it deserves that valuation.
I see. So those that got in might have to stick around for a while. David Wiedner, columnist for The Wall Street Journal. David, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We will be right back to talk about research out of the University of Michigan on stem cell research, adult stem cells. That research there can be just as effective as embryonic stem cell research. We'll talk about it next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.